I was chosen to talk about a man of God named Peter. Peter was chosen for a very special purpose. You know how some stories, how some movies and books, they start with some crisis or some major event like a murder or an earthquake, and then they flash back in time, they flash back in history, and they tell the story. How did we get here? How did we get in this mess? Or how did this happen? An example would be the movie Back to the Future. You may recall that Marty McFly met Doc Brown in the parking lot, and then this white van full of Libyans comes along, and it appears that they kill Doc Brown. So Marty jumps in this time machine that Doc Brown had brought along with him. Marty jumps in this time machine, and he goes back in time. And then they start telling the story. How did we get there? And that's how I'd like to tell the story about Peter today. There was a major event called Pentecost, and I want to tell then how we got there. I'm going to be moving fast. You don't need to turn to all these scriptures. Just follow as we study the Word. We're going to first look at Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Now, this passage refers to Jesus after he had been crucified, dead, and buried, and now he is alive. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He gives them instructions to wait, and in a few days they'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now that sounds cool. Let's read about it. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit of God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the one that spoke all of this into existence, the one that created you, the one that breathed the breath of life into you. They were filled with His Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues. They must not have been Baptists. They were speaking in tongues. The point is, they were speaking other languages. In verses 5 through 13, it describes how the people from every nation understood. People from every nation understood. The onlookers were amazed. They were perplexed. They thought that these people were drunk. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" Oh, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So then Peter explained to them, 'This is what was prophesied long ago. And in other words, God told us this would happen, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people. And in verse 21, it says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, that's also cool. And then Peter tells about Jesus, about how he performed miracles and wonders and signs. He's talking about Jesus. He's telling about Jesus. And then he says, "And you put him to death." The people are like, "Oh my, what should we do?" In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. In that culture, a person's name was everything they stood for. A person's name meant, what do they believe? Who do they follow? Where do they go? What do they do? How do they act? A person's name was everything they stood for. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Maybe they were Baptists. About 3,000 people accepted Jesus. About 3,000 people were added to the Book of Life that day. About 3,000 people were saved. This was the beginning of the church. So what qualified Peter to deliver this message? What were his qualifications? Who was this guy? Let's go back in time. We'll look at Matthew 4:18, where Peter first comes on the scene. "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen." Peter and his brother were out fishing with a net. They didn't have spears. They didn't have fishing poles. They were fishing with a net. They were fishing for a bunch of fish, not just a few. The implication here is that they were commercial fishermen. This was their business. This was their vocation. We learn in the scripture that Peter owned a boat. Are there any fishermen in here? Any fishermen? Okay, there's a few. Any of you fished with a net? I was fishing for some bait fish with a net one time. It's pretty slimy. It's pretty dirty work. It's kind of stinky. In fact, our pastor just recently, in one of his sermons, he called Peter. He said, "Peter preached at Pentecost and he was a stinking fisherman." Plus, this was Galilee. These were Galileans. The Galileans were known to be hardworking, aggressive, entrepreneurial, adventurous. Peter was sometimes impulsive, rowdy, overbearing. If this was the United States, Peter was a Texan. That's who he was. So picture this. Peter, Andrew, they're working away at their vocation, they're fishing, and this man Jesus comes walking up. Matthew 4:19 through 20. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. At once they left their nets, their business, their way of life. Okay, so you say, back then that was easier to do. Things weren't so hectic and chaotic back then. It was easier to walk away from a business for a while. You know, that's the problem today. We're so afraid to leave what we're doing and follow Jesus. We're so in love with our nets, our business, our way of life, our habits, our hobbies. Shoot, we're afraid to step out in the aisle and come down here and say, "I want to follow Jesus. I'm preaching. I'll get back to Peter. Let's go back to Peter. Maybe Peter was ready for a change in his life. We know he was impulsive, but definitely there was something special about this man, Jesus. We study all through the Gospels that when people encountered Jesus, there was something very special about Jesus. And Peter chose to follow him. He didn't do a bunch of research. He didn't check references. He didn't seek counseling. He received an invitation from Jesus, and he left his net and followed him. I submit to you that this right here, this is the main thing that qualified Peter to preach at Pentecost. Not his education, not his money, his training, his experience, his popularity, not his great speaking ability. It was his choice to leave his net and follow Jesus. So for 3 years, he followed Jesus. And at first, I thought he went to Jesus University. And then I thought more about that. It was really more like boot camp. This was training for the battle. This was training for the war. This is training for the ultimate battle, the cosmic battle, the spiritual warfare. So Peter walked and talked with Jesus. He heard him preach. Jesus stayed at his house, used his boat. He saw healing, miracles, lives changed. At one point, Peter even walked on the water. He had very, very strong faith. Sometimes his faith weakened. He fell in the water. Has your faith ever weakened? Have you ever fallen in the water? Peter did lots of good stuff, and he made lots of mistakes and had lots of failures. Let's look at one of his successes in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." He got it. Peter got it. He understood who Jesus really is. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter lived happily ever after. No, that's not how it worked. The world didn't change. Peter did. He still had trials. He still had challenges. He had successes. He had failure. Life happened. Let's look at some of Peter's failures. He was with Jesus for 3 years, and they were in Jerusalem, and Jesus told them he would be arrested and killed. They were at a meal together, and Jesus did something really weird. He got up, took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around himself, and began washing the disciples' feet. This is something the lowliest of the low would do. This is something that was considered dirty and demeaning and very low. It wasn't something for the king to do. And he gets to Peter, and Peter says, "What are you doing? You're not washing my feet." That's typical Peter. Typical Peter in his mouth. "What are you doing? You're not washing my feet." And Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." This is a lesson in humility, a much needed lesson in humility. Anybody out there had one of those? I have. But that's not the most notable failure. Let's talk about another failure. Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested to be killed on the cross. And he asked Peter and some others to pray with him. And Jesus went off and prayed and came back and Peter fell asleep. Here's another. When they came to arrest Jesus, there was a large crowd with swords and clubs. Jesus was arrested. Peter lost it. He grabbed a sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. Yeah, he was brave. Maybe he was willing to die. But he was very impulsive. Was he following Jesus in that moment? No. Here is the most notable failure, I believe. This event is in all four Gospels. Before Jesus was arrested, he had told the disciples, "You will all fall away. The sheep will be scattered." The sheep, his followers, the sheep. "You will all fall away." And Peter says, "Everyone else might fall, but I will not. Not me. I will lay down my life for you." Big talk. He's bold. He's proud. Peter had a habit with his mouth instead of ready, aim, shoot. Peter was ready, shoot, aim. Ready, shoot, aim. Know anybody like that? So Jesus was arrested, and a girl came up to Peter, and he said, "You were with Jesus." And Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Strike one. Another girl came up and said, "This guy was with Jesus." And Peter said, "I don't know the man." Strike two. Some others said, "Surely you are one of them." And the Bible says Peter cursed and swore, "I don't know the man." Strike three. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus had said, and he went out and wept bitterly when just a few hours earlier he said, "I will lay down my life for you." Have you ever done that? Have you ever denied Christ? Do we do that today? I believe we deny Jesus when we don't take a stand in this pluralistic culture of ours and say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. So how do we take a stand in this world when somebody says that Jesus is not the way? You don't have to believe in Jesus. I don't believe we take out a sword and chop their ear off. I don't believe that's the way. I believe we wrap a towel around our waist and we wash their feet. I believe that we serve, we love, and we bless people. So Peter denied Jesus. He messed up. Thank God the story does not end there. Thank God our failures are not what define us. God still loves us when we fail. God still loves us when we fail. Peter chose to follow Jesus. Peter was chosen for a special mission to speak at Pentecost, the very beginning of the church, the very beginning of Christianity. In John chapter 21, the resurrected Jesus asks Peter three questions. Number one, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "You know I do." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, the young sheep, feed my lambs." Number two, "Do you truly love me?" "You know I do." Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." Number three, "Do you love me?" "You know all things. You know I do." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." This is what the church does. Feed my lambs, the young sheep. Take care of my sheep as the lambs grow and become sheep. Feed my sheep. Maybe that means take care of the elderly. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. And Peter led the way. Peter was the rock on which the church was built. He chose to leave his net and follow Jesus. That's what made him a real man. That's what made Peter a man of God. Would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, help us to be real men. Help us to be men of God.